Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. You look at the announcements at the back of your bulletin to see what is going on around here. Summer you usually think maybe slows down a little bit, but no, it doesn't. We still have events going on. One thing I do want to highlight is that the adult Sunday school class is going to be reorganizing. So if you are interested in going to the adult Sunday school class, you may want to be a part of that reorganization meeting. And that will be today during the Sunday school hour. And I believe the meeting is in the chapel there in the educational building. So during Sunday school hour, you're welcome to go over there and sit in and find out what's going on. And I think, Nicholas, you got an announcement.
I'm just here to say thank you for everyone who donated any amount of items or items to Project H. We are completely done collecting for the project, and next Sunday, me and the kids will be assembling the bags. And then that Monday after, I'm going to be taking a trip down to Victoria, Texas, to Midcoast Family Services to be donating everything that you brought us and everything that the kids assemble. So I really appreciate it, especially given that this project started last year before COVID hit. So there was, I remember starting this project and then having to run to Pastor Tim and saying, hey man, people are taking masks and toilet paper off the shelves. What do you think I should do? Because I don't want someone at Walmart to see, hey, that person's taking toothpaste and deodorant. I'm going to take all the same thing too. I didn't want to cause a panic, and his advice was just put it on pause until all this thing clears up. So 1 year later, this is probably the longest service project I've ever done in my career. Hope we never have to go through anything like this again. But thank you to everybody who donated. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Does anybody else have announcements this morning? Any other announcements? Then I ask you to rise for the brief order for confession and forgiveness. We begin in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may apply in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn is Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, our Father, dwelling in majesty and mystery, renewing and fulfilling creation by your eternal Spirit, and revealing your glory through our Lord Jesus Christ, cleanse us from doubt and fear, and enable us to worship you with your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, living and reigning, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
The first lesson is from Isaiah 6, chapters 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Two seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. Three, and one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord, glory be his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like calf, and Mount Hermon like a
ox. The voice of the Lord splits the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. And in the temples of the Lord, all are crying, "Glory."
The Lord sits enthroned above the Father. The Lord sits enthroned with the King forevermore.
The Lord shall give strength to his people. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace. The second lesson is from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me introduce myself to you this morning. My name is Nicodemus. I was born into a good Jewish family. They made sure that I had the proper upbringing. They took me to the local rabbi, attended the classes, and I learned about scripture. I learned about the law through the local rabbi. But I excelled in my studies, and so he recommended that I go on and study with a more prestigious rabbi. And so for several years then, I spent some time as a disciple of this other rabbi, studying what he had to show me and teaching me how to debate. And I excelled there as well then too. And so I was recommended to go to even a more prestigious rabbi. Eventually, I myself became a rabbi. I myself became a lawyer. And I became a Pharisee. And I tell you what, Pharisees were pretty sharp people. We knew scripture frontwards and backwards. If you would tell us any part of scripture, we could tell you exactly where it was in the scrolls. We could tell you which scroll it was in, which prophet it came from, what book of Moses that it came from. We could tell you anything you wanted to know about that piece of scripture. We knew the law. We knew the law and we knew the prophets. People were impressed with my abilities. So much so that they asked me to be a part of the Sanhedrin. Now, when Rome would come in and conquer a country, they would get their things in order in that country, but a lot of times they would leave a lot of the local government in the hands of the local people. That way, the customs of the local people would still remain the same. Also, too, the leaders knew their people. They knew what the people wanted and what they needed. And so a lot of times they left a lot of the local government in place. Rome only required two things. One, that you paid the taxes that they assessed for that country. If you sent in the taxes that Rome assessed, they would leave you alone. The other thing that Rome would ask was not to cause an insurrection. Don't cause trouble for Rome. Otherwise, Rome would come down hard. Rome would come down very hard on anyone who tried to remove them from power in your country. And most countries understood that. And so in Judea, they tried to set up this same thing. And so in Judea then, the local ruling government was the Sanhedrin. And I was a part of that prestigious body. I was there. A lot of times, we love to debate. You know how politicians are. We love to debate. And it was basically a sport. Sometimes we would come together because the Sanhedrin was not only for civil authority, it was also scripture. It was also religious authority in the land. Religious law and civil law had to co-mesh. They were the same thing. And so sometimes we would debate. Sometimes it would take a whole day just to debate one word of scripture. Or other times we may be debating what kind of policy we need to have in place. And so through that debate, we became very good at debating. Also, too, we did work out deals. We learned how to make things work. Everybody in Judea hated the Romans. They were a conquering people, and they were pagans. We were, after all, the chosen people of God. We were his very own chosen people of God, and we were in the promised land. That land belonged to us. Everybody hated the Romans because these were pagans in the promised land trying to rule the chosen people of God. And as the Sanhedrin, we had to work with these pagans. And through debate, through arguing, through coming to conclusions, we kind of came to a balance with the Romans of how to placate the people who hated the Romans and also to keep the Romans from just annihilating all of us, just giving up and annihilating all of us. So there was a fine balance in there. Kind of tricky, but again, then too, the Sanhedrin were those who had studied the law for years and years and were sharp people. And so there was a balance in there. And honestly, many of them just loved the power of being in there, and they wanted to hold on to that power. And things were going okay. I mean, there were always rough starts, rocky starts. Everybody in Judea hated the Romans, and every once in a while somebody would pop up who would start an insurrection. And then we would catch it as well then too. Well, we had heard about a country preacher, and he was starting to make waves from an obscure place, somewhere way up around Galilee. But we kept an eye on him. People were starting to follow him. There were even rumors that possibly this could be the Messiah, the Savior that God sends into the world, the one that delivers Israel. And so we kept a closer eye on him. Every once in a while, we would send a delegation of the Sanhedrin to go maybe just listen to what he had to say or to watch what he had to do. A little later on then, it was starting to get more dangerous because more and more people were starting to follow him. He had no credentials. He may have gone through the local rabbi and got his what he needed, but that's all he went. He never did go any further. He didn't study or move on to become a rabbi or a Pharisee or a lawyer. He was a carpenter. This doesn't fit the patterns of what the Messiah should be. So we had to keep an eye on him and check him out, and we started sending some of our best debaters to go and try to knock him down a level. But it seems every time he got the best of the Pharisees and the scribes. Something was going on here. I started to become curious. I wanted to see, because I had heard he had changed water into wine. He was able to heal people. He was saying new things about God, or reinterpreting Scripture in a way that we didn't do that. So I had to check him out. And he was close into Jerusalem for a time. And I found out where he was going at night. Now, I had to do this secretly because I didn't know if this really was the Messiah or if he was an imposter. So I wanted to go check it out. But I knew that the things that he did, he couldn't do unless God was with him. And so I went and I talked to him. Jesus was ready to talk to me. He was not afraid. He wasn't scared. He wasn't intimidated. He was eager to talk with me. And so we talked one night in secret. And he said something curious to me. He said, "Those who will be entering the kingdom of heaven must be born again." And that puzzled me. Okay, what? Can you enter back into your mother's womb and be born again? And he says, No. Let me tell it to you. You must be born from above. You must be born of water and spirit. Well, that still didn't satisfy me. I did not know what that meant. And there wasn't time really to get into it much deeper. I didn't understand what he was talking about at that time. But I continued to follow his career and what he was doing. And it was always controversial what he was doing. The signs, the things that he did, could only be done by somebody who was in God's favor. To heal people. To walk on water, to feed thousands of people on just a few loaves of bread, a couple of fish. But then at the same time, he would do something contrary to our laws. So how could somebody who does great things that only God can do also be contrary to God? He would heal on the Sabbath. Or he would touch the untouchable. He would touch the clean, unclean, and make himself unclean in the process. How can somebody from God do both things? Do things that can only be attributed to God and at the same time break our laws. Eventually, most on the Sanhedrin were fed up with this Jesus. They were fed up with him. He was starting to cause a ruckus. Even some of the Romans were starting to notice. He came into town for that last time. The crowds were yelling, "Hosanna to the King!" That was trouble. If Rome got a hold of that, they would wipe out thousands of people. Thousands of people would maybe lose their lives. Because of what was going on. Rome would shut it down. We had to shut it down early too. There were several of us though, on the Sanhedrin, who thought, yes, this truly can be the Messiah. Even though we still had questions, this truly could be the Messiah. But the rest on the Sanhedrin, we have to shut it down. We have to shut it down. So they came up with a plot. They were able to coerce one of Jesus' closest followers and paid him 30 pieces of silver to betray him. Jesus was arrested by the temple guards and he was put on trial. They did it secretly. They arrested him secretly at night and they put him on trial secretly at night because they were worried about the crowds. They were worried about a riot because Jesus did have many followers in town. And people would protest, and they would start to cause a commotion. So we wanted to do it secretly, so we wouldn't upset that balance that we had in our power with the Romans. Through false testimony, he was convicted. And so early that next morning, we got a hold of Pontius Pilate, who was the governor, representing Rome, the highest authority in Palestine, representing Rome. Pilate didn't find any guilt in him, but we suspected that might be the case. So already some of the Sanhedrin were planted out in the crowd, and as soon as Pilate says, I find no guilt in him. What do you want us to do with him? They started shouting, crucify, crucify him, kill him, put him to death. Pilate was worried now that an insurrection would be starting. And Pilate had botched an insurrection start several years before. And he already had a mark against him about his treatment of that insurrection. He didn't want another bad mark against him from Rome. Otherwise, he's liable to lose his power. And so Pilate caved. He gave in. He condemned Jesus to death. I knew at that point that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Savior, even though I didn't understand fully what he was about. And I was there. I watched as Jesus carried the cross. I watched as they nailed him there. There were other followers who were gathered around at that foot of the cross. And I watched him as he hung there in agony. Some of those from the Sanhedrin even walked by at the cross. They thought that they had won, and they were mocking him. They said, you saved others, save yourself. Come on down from this cross right now. Let's see it, and we will believe. Save yourself. And then they would spit on him. I was there when I heard the last words that he ever spoke. And he said, it is finished. It is finished. My heart sank. His life was over. It is finished. But I misunderstood his statement. There was another member of the Sanhedrin who also was a secret follower of Jesus. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph went to Pontius Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and I helped Joseph take it down, along with some of the other women followers who were there too. And we saw to it that Jesus got a proper Jewish burial late that afternoon on Friday. We got it done before sundown, before the beginning of the Sabbath. We buried Jesus in that tomb. It is finished. But it wasn't over. It wasn't over yet. Because on that next Sunday morning, there were reports that Jesus was no longer in the grave. And some of the women reported that they had actually seen Jesus and talked to him. Jesus had risen from the grave. And I finally understood a couple of things that I had not been able to understand earlier. When Jesus said he must be born from above, or that you must be born from above, meant that we need that gift of the Holy Spirit and we will live. Christ rose from the dead. The Messiah rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. He came back to life. He was born again in that resurrection. He was born from above because only God can raise somebody from the dead. Jesus had also said, you must be born of the water and the Spirit. It's in that water of baptism that we are given the Holy Spirit. We are given that promise of life and that ability to be born again, to rise up again out of death, to be raised up. The other thing I didn't understand was when Jesus said, it is finished. He wasn't talking about his life. He wasn't talking that it's finished, my life's over. What he was talking about was his mission, the purpose or reason why he came here in the first place, why he came to earth in the first place. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That was Christ's mission. That's what Jesus had finished. He had accomplished the will of his Father. He had done the work. The work was done. Not his life, but the work was done. And because of that, salvation came into this world. Because of that, we have hope to be born again. We have that hope of living with God forever in His glory. God gave His only Son to save us. As for me and Joseph of Arimathea, we continue to be on that Sanhedrin. We tried to help those who were followers of Jesus Christ. They were called followers of the way. We tried to be able to keep the Jewish leaders off of their backs. Sometimes we were successful, sometimes we were not. We tried to help also proclaim that message, help to promote that good news that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, that Jesus Christ was that Savior that God had promised for hundreds of years. We continue on to proclaim that message that Christ was raised from the dead, and He gives us the promise that we will be born from above, that we will be born again, that we will be born anew in Him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day. This morning I have a surprise for you. It says here in our bulletin that we'll be doing the Apostles' Creed. Well, we will not be doing the Apostles' Creed this morning. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday, and so we will be saying the third creed of our faith, which is called the Athanasian Creed. So if you will grab out your hymnals, the green hymnals, and the Athanasian Creed is on page 54. Page 54. Not the hymn numbers, but the page. Page 54. This is usually the only Sunday of the year that we do speak this creed. And as you open it up, you can probably see why. It is the only year, the only day that we use it. But it is very appropriate for this Sunday because it very much speaks about the Holy Trinity. And it helps us to have an understanding of who the Holy Trinity is. And so we confess our faith with the Athanasian Creed. Whoever wants to be saved should above all cling to the Catholic faith. Whoever does not guard it whole and inviolable will doubtless perish eternally. Now this is the Catholic faith. We worship one God in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the divine being. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Spirit is still another. But the deity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-eternal in majesty. What the Father is, the Son is, and so is the Holy Spirit. Uncreated is the Father, uncreated is the Son, uncreated is the Spirit. The Father is infinite, the Son is infinite, the Holy Spirit is infinite. Eternal is the Father, eternal is the Son, eternal is the Spirit. And yet there are not three eternal beings, but one who is eternal. As there are not three uncreated and unlimited beings, but one who is uncreated and unlimited. Almighty is the Father, almighty is the Son, almighty is the Spirit. And yet there are not three almighty beings, but one who is almighty. Thus the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. Thus the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. As Christian truth compels us to acknowledge each person as God and Lord, so Catholic religion forbids us to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father was neither made nor created nor begotten. The Son was neither made nor created, but alone was begotten of the Father. The Spirit was neither made nor created, but is proceeding from the Father and the Son. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three spirits. Before or after, greater or less than the other, but all three persons are in themselves co-eternal and co-equal. And so we must worship the Trinity in unity and the one God in three persons. Whoever wants to be saved should think about the Trinity. It is necessary for eternal salvation that one also faithfully believe that our Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the true faith that we believe and confess, that our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is both God and man. He is God begotten before all worlds from the being of the Father, and he is man, born in the world from the being of his mother, existing fully as God and fully as man, with a rational soul and a human body, equal to the Father in divinity, subordinate to the Father in humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not divided, but is one Christ. He is united because God has taken humanity into himself. He does not transform deity into humanity. He is completely one in the unity of his person, without confusing his natures. For as the rational soul and body are one person, so the one Christ is God and man. He suffered death for our salvation. He descended into hell and rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people shall rise bodily to give an account of their own deeds. Those who have done good will enter eternal life. Those who have done evil will enter eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. One cannot be saved without believing this firmly and faithfully.
In the power of the Holy Spirit,
Let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for the church, the world, and all people according to their need. Most holy God, fill us with your presence, your word, your breath, so that our lives cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of his glory." Lord, in your mercy, make your church reflect your holiness. Keep it steadfast in faith, sound in doctrine, loving in service, generous in giving, ardent in worship, and holy in living. Make it a lamp filled with the light of your presence, welcoming and guiding many to salvation in your holy name. Lord, in your mercy, be the shelter, strength, and inheritance of all who are hated because of your holy name. Give them courage, graciousness, and hope, and soften the hearts of their enemies. Lord, in your mercy. This weekend in particular, we remember our beloved dead, especially those who have given their lives for their country. Keep them ever in your care. Hasten the day where sin, warfare, and death shall be no more, and your eternal peace reigns undisturbed in every heart. Lord, in your mercy. Gather in your Son's embrace all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. We pray especially for Clark Kerlick, Lori Nelson Stinger, Leslie Waymire, Kay Claverman, Tony Metting, David Metting, James Metting, David Lossman, and the families of Alvin Stanchos and Susan Kelly. Lord, in your mercy. Most holy and blessed Trinity, we praise you for welcoming into your presence all who died trusting in you. Keep our hearts firmly fixed on you, the Lord and giver of life. Bring us with the whole company of the redeemed of every time and place, every nation, tribe, and tongue, into your presence. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, through the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, we are bold to ask these things in Jesus' name. Whatever is in accordance with your will, grant us for your dear Son's sake. Amen. We continue with the offering. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world,
making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You reveal your glory as the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, one Lord, one God, ever to be adored in your eternal glory. And so with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Come, for all is ready. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
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 Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn is God of Our Fathers. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as you go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.